Lord says much of the evangelism of the end time will be because many will be looking for answers. Men will be running to and fro in disparity. The evangelism that is so hard now because the hearts are towards the world. And before their hearts is prosperity and the offer. Those things that I cannot compete with presently, saith the Spirit of grace. But know this, that I am poised to come back to this earth. And before I come back, there will be a great stirring in my house. And before I come back, I will confuse the wisdom of the nations. Much of what people have trusted in will not work for them anymore. Their security in life and the plans that they believed that they had for the future will begin to come to nothing. And as their world crumbles, they will look for the answers. And I say to you, my church, my bride, be ready and always waiting to give an answer of the hope that lies within you. Let them know that there is power in this way. There is power to change their life from disparity to hope, from disparity to peace. Let them know that there is a place of change where I can change them. Be a model before them of the righteousness that I left here on this earth. For much of my church has not represented that righteousness. And the world has said this, well, they're the same as we are. There's no separation. And because of that, they have not wanted nothing to do because they felt that they had everything that you had. But I say unto you that there emerges a church that is whitewashed, pure to the core, and will continue in my sayings and follow me all the way to the end. They will not fear persecution. They will not even fear death if it comes to that. But they will be sold completely over to me as bondservants, believing unto the end that all things are possible to them that believe. And the evangelism that is so hard among the nations, because people do not need me now, there will come a time where people will need me desperately, for they will have no answers. In that time and in that hour, be a witness of the hope. Do not be carried away with them. Do not let your heart be enlarged with the surfeiting of the flesh, those things which you indulge in where the world would pull you out. But allow me to come and temper you in the power of my Spirit. Peace will rule in your homes. Peace will rule in your marriages. You'll find your bodies spring forth. I will separate you. I will cause there to be a division so that the world looks at you and says, something is different. They have a peace that I do not have. They walk in a health that I do not have. Yes, there is an argument in front of the church now that says that the things that you trust in are not so. Satan has brought an argument against your finances and against your bodies, many of you who walk in truth. But know this, he endures will find that patience brings him out on the other side victoriously, proving my word to be true and faithful, saith the Spirit of grace. And know this, that when you come past these things, as someone who conquers, and when they conquer, they have those things under their dominion. It becomes innate inside of them. It becomes part of their character. They're not looking again for that place of dominion. It's part of their life. Know this, that the things that you're walking through today, when you come out on the other side, they'll be yours forever. not only yours, but you'll be able to impart the wisdom and the truth and the dominion that lies within you to all those who will come as newborn babes in Christ for the future, saith the Spirit of grace. So rejoice in the midst of your temptations. Rejoice in the midst of those things which Satan brings as an argument against the truth today, knowing this, that in the hour of temptation when the world is falling apart, you will have the answers. Father, we worship you. We bless you. We give you all the praise and glory for the nativity, for the birthing place that is in this house. We call them born again. We pray the streets of Immokalee will be emptied, Lord. We pray for the drug addicts, the prostitutes, Lord God, those tonight that are snorting cocaine, those that are doing whatever they're doing, those that are in perverted lifestyles. Father, we love them. You love them. And we call them into this house that they might be born again and that their lives might be changed and that they may see that Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God Almighty and that He desires to change their life. Father, we thank you for this great revival that will take place when the whitewashed of the church will come through the gates of glory with hands lifted up, knowing that we escaped the things of this world and we found a place in the Lamb forever to abide. We worship you. We call upon you for this region. Lord, release your angels over this place. Lord, we thank you that there's no black magic, no voodoo, no witchcraft that has any power over this. Let them speak their words of vanity. Let them do their incantations, whatever they want to do. But Father, we pray for their souls. We say that Immokalee is saved. It's born again. It's filled with the power of God. Father, we pray that you'll place inside of us the spirit of Elijah, that boldness, Lord God, but also couple it with love, that we'll not run over people, but we'll treat them the same way you would treat them, Father, with love and tenderness. We bless you. We give you all the praise. There is none like you, Jesus. There is none like you, Jesus, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. It's good to have all of you here. It's good to see one of my sons, Eric. Man. Hallelujah. And his friend, would you like to introduce you? Fiance. I didn't want... Yes.
Future wife.
Hi, Amy. Thanks for coming. Hallelujah. Praise God. How many think you could give if Otto put the best? Hallelujah. That'd be great. He's going after you. Started Eric out. I think you were with me. The first time we ever got a hog, wasn't it? That's the first time. Yeah. Here goes the anointing. And then you remember the night I took you out when you were about this high and the bear about got us? I think Kathy almost left the church that night. I got to tell that. That's good. This was after a Dave Roberson deal. I mean, we had Pastor Joel, and your dad went with us. I think Julio was there that night. And there was a bunch of us, and they all said, "We want you to take us hog hunting. We've heard about this, you know." So I said, "Okay, we'll do that." And I think Frankie he might have been with us. Well, to tell the story real quick, Candy and I had been out, have a lease, have had it from the time I've come here before, and just south of Immokalee. And I have feeders up on the property we did then, and then Candy and I rode down one afternoon. I said, "Honey, take a ride with me to the lease, and let's ride around." Well, I went to one of my feeders, and you had to put a ladder up the tree, and I had it fixed where I could pour the corn in there and all that stuff. And so while I'm doing that, I'm looking just like from here to Marty, and I hear this, I hear that, and there's like palmettos. You guys, everybody that lives in Florida knows what palmettos are, and there's all these pine trees. Well, I'm looking, and just across, like I said, from here to the sound booth, there's these bear cubs going up, and they're only like, they're so cute. They're like this big. But what made them is not cute. And so I told Candy, she's sitting in the truck, you know, like 15, 20 feet below. You know, I'm way up on this ladder. I said, Candy, come up here. Come up here. I want to show you something. What? What? Come here up here. So she climbed all the way up there, up on this big stand. And I said, look over there. You see that? Look. Look at those little bear cubs. You see those bear cubs? And she goes, oh, my God. She goes, well, there's a mama around here somewhere. She went right back down the ladder, got in the truck, rolled up the window, probably locked the door. So it was only a few days later that all these guys said, take us out, take us out. We want to, okay, so we got, Pastor Dave got done at 10 or 11 o'clock. So I said, okay, I'm going to give you an experience. So we went on one side of my lease, and we caught these three big boar hogs, and that's real exciting for your ladies. I know that's what you came to church for, to hear that. And then we said, okay, we got a little bit left. Let's go on the other side of the property. So we went down to where these, I didn't tell them this is where the bears are at. And Eric's about this high, and his big brother's about this high or so, and they're but just little guys. And so the dogs left, and we walked, the trucks were way back, and we walked down this tunneled road. It was a tunneled road. There was palmettos here, palmettos there, and it was a tunnel. You just couldn't get off either side. And so we got down to about where, they didn't know, but about where I'd seen the bear cubs just a week or so earlier. And so we're missing the dogs, and the dogs are gone 30 minutes or 45 minutes, and we're just standing there with flashlights off, and all of a sudden I started hearing this scurrying again, like something climbing the bark of a tree, and I knew what it was, and I knew that there was bear cubs there, but I also knew that Mama must be close by, and so I said, listen, guys, listen. You hear that? So I had a flashlight turned. All these kids, these little guys are around me, and then there's grown men around me. And I said, do you hear that? I said, that's a bear cub. And so I said, you know what? We probably should get back to the truck because, you know, we'll wait for the dogs at the truck. That's probably where we should go. So we walked back a little bit further. But right when we got to the spot where, like, say, from here to Ralph, I said, wasn't this the spot where we heard them at? And they said, yeah, I think so. Right about that time, as soon as we're standing there pitch dark, no kidding. All of a sudden, Mama is in the palmettos, and she goes, roar! And she shakes. Well, at that point, Deion Sanders could have not caught me. I left, and I left these babies standing in the road. I was halfway back to the truck before I realized, wait a minute. Julio, you beat me to the truck. Don't be laughing. We had to go back and say, are the kids still here with us? Eric, are you still? So that was his experience growing up. But he's still here, and he's back from Texas. We're glad. Hallelujah. Well, why'd you tell that? Because it's good. It's good to laugh. It's fellowship of the brethren. If you come to church and your church is starchy and you can't laugh, then you need to pray in tongues a little bit more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. With this group here tonight, I believe that we can fill this up. Hallelujah. I don't know if my faith is big enough that we can fill all four of them up, but I believe we can fill this one up. Would you pray? Father, we just thank you, and we give you all the praise and all the glory. We thank you for life in general. We get the opportunity to wake up in the morning and believe that you're the Lord over our day. And no matter what fight is in front of us, sometimes there's a huge fight. Sometimes every moment of the day is seemingly ordered by circumstances or someone else. But Father, we thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us. And always, wherever we go or whatever we do, you're working your work on the inside if we allow you through that consciousness. Father, we thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we thank you that not only can you come and heal and do the miraculous, but Lord, you can also give us the joy of the Lord that brings forth strength. Now, Lord, we pray that in these days, not only in this house, but across the globe, Father, we pray that people will hear, that there will be a divine exposure in the Spirit. People will hear of what we're after here in Immokalee. Lord, we will not fail through you. And we pray that they will sponsor what we're doing here through the grace of God. And Father, we thank you that you've given us an assignment, and that is to receive an outpouring. And Father, we thank you that Immokalee is saved and this region of Florida is saved. In fact, 50-mile radius. We thank you, Father, that you gave it to us. We bless you and give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. So, what are we asking God for? Well, we've been asking Him for a long time and believing Him for an outpouring. And however you term it, if it's a spiritual awakening, a refreshing, a revival, more than anything else, we want to have the ear of the Latter-day Church. We want to be awake. We want to be the awakened church. And there are other churches and other people that are listening to the voice of the bridegroom. And they're coming out. And as I've continued to say, is that things of this earth, one of the ways that you'll know if you're waking up is if things of this earth really get kind of dim to you. If you could just care less. I mean, everybody wants certain creature comforts. And so I'm not going to go overboard saying, well, you mean you can care less if you lived in any place. No, that's not what I'm saying. But to have and to go forward and to build a kingdom on this earth, somehow you begin to lose that. Because you understand that it's not going to be very long. Today we said goodbye to a man that I don't really know that much, although I knew him sometimes when he'd visit our church. And that's Jason Corbett. And Miss Barbara has through the years been a friend to his wife and invited her at different times and brought her at different times when we'd have special speakers. In fact, she's a distant cousin of mine, and I had a privilege in saying goodbye to a man that was just 62 years old. He loved God, and his time has come. But it doesn't matter whether we're here on planet Earth when Jesus comes back. We do know this. All of us are going to go the way of the grave if he doesn't come back. And I can tell you this, when the word says that your life is but a vapor, believe me, it is but a vapor. It is going to be over very, very soon. And I'm having some of the best times of my life holding my grandbabies, but I don't know how I got there. It just seemed like overnight. It's wonderful. But I'm anticipating, I'll tell you one of the things that I know that eternity is on the inside of me, is that when you read the book of Revelation, at the end of it, there's a heart cry of the church. It says, come, Lord Jesus, and come quickly. And the closer I find myself getting to Him, it's not that I don't want my loved ones saved. That's the only thing that I'm wanting my loved ones saved. I'm wanting my children to go into heaven with me. But there's something inside of me that's saying, God, get it over with and get it over with soon. And I believe this. I believe that the Latter-day Church is going to help him get it over with. Because part of our assignment is this, to evangelize the nations and cause people to see that there is power in the name of Jesus. And God has to have something to judge the nations with. Jesus said, one of the signs that he said, this gospel will be preached to all men, then the end will come. There's not a standard in the church today by which God can really judge the nations with. In other words, he could come back, but the nations would stand before him and say, you're judging us, but we did not see your image in the earth. And that's an indictment against the church. Because the church at large, I'm not saying we're the only ones, but the church at large is not living in power, and they're not living in righteousness. The same things that The world does. The church does. The same divorce rate in the world is the same divorce rate in the church. And so people are not seeing that when they cross a line that there is a place of power on the other side of Jesus. And we just sang a song that says there's power in the name of Jesus, but the world's not seeing that. And the world is not seeing something that separates people righteous from the unrighteous. And so because of that, because that image is not presently existing in fullness in the earth, the Lord is waiting. He's waiting for a generation to rise up, Holy Ghost, tongue-talking people that are praying for a regional outpouring and praying that the world will see an image to say, look, they're different than us. They live righteous. They live without sin in their life. They may not be perfect, but they're following God. They're following God, and they're trying to do what the Word of God says. So when that happens, and it will happen, and it's beginning to happen, you know, for so long a time, we the clergy have given a terrible injustice to people accepting Christ. We just said, just accept Him, and that's all you need to do. And it doesn't really matter how you live after that. We need to let them know, look, once you accept Him, you belong to, I started to say, an exclusive club, but it's not a club. It's a family. It's a family. That's what separates Christianity from all the other religions of the world. It's not a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's a family. It's a family that lives out of their heart pledge to Jesus Christ. But one of the things that we've done that's weakened, it's really weakened the gospel, is we've said, look, you know, it's okay. You just join this and you really don't have to separate. We need to let them know that there is a separation process. There's a place that, look, yes, that's who you used to be, but now you're going to be somebody else. You don't have to do the things that you used to, because now you have inside of you the power of the gospel. You have that power, that presentation to live righteous, to live holy. But guess what? What comes along with that? Yes, there's a sacrifice in saying no to the flesh. No, I'm not going to live like that anymore. But what comes along with that, the trade-off of what they get out of that, yes, they're going to have to say no to the flesh. They can't do that anymore. But what they get out of that is a life of peace, empowerment. When they lay their heads down at night, they can rest knowing, look, I am His son. I am His daughter. God is working a work on the inside of me. And the greatest thing they get is this. They get the opportunity to go out and become a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Get other people born again. And that's our, you know, that's our sole purpose in all this outpouring, is to see our city and our nation, this part of where we live, evangelized for the Lord Jesus. I accept that. Praise God. I accept that challenge. Paul writes here in chapter 3, and we won't go too far into this tonight, but I just want to read Scripture and then comment as I hear the Holy Spirit speaking. Paul said this in verse 1. He said, this know also, that in the last days, everybody say last days. We were talking the other day, and we were in the back of the church, and I said, look, when I read Jude, I used to read Jude when it talks about the things that were coming on the planet Earth, and when it gets down to verse 20, you know, there's only one chapter, when it gets down and it said, and the others were, and I'm paraphrasing now, they were sensual, having not the Spirit. They separated themselves. But ye, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I used to read that as, yes, this is what will happen to me. I can pray in the Holy Ghost, and I can build myself up, and I can have faith to believe for anything. And that's true. And Jude has always been available as a word of truth to all men from the time that it was written. But the way that I'm reading Jude now, I'm reading it like a newspaper. I'm reading it like 2013. I'm actually seeing that, I believe this with all my heart, that some of these scriptures that we're reading, they were from the day, again, I will repeat, from the day that they were written by the Holy Ghost, they were always applicable. In other words, anybody that ever stood on them, taught them, and believed them, they could be used as truth. But I do believe now that some of the things that we're reading were words that were spoken by the Holy Ghost, prophetic, for the end times of which we're living now. In other words, I believe that Jude is a modern day, end time scripture that is telling us that not only do we build ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, He's giving us a key, He's giving us an insight into the mystery to say, look, one of the best ways that you will inoculate yourself against the last day deception and the falling away that will come on the church, this is one of the best ways, keep praying in other tongues. This is how you do it. And he goes on to say there that will save some, making a difference over some. In other words, that the church will be scattered abroad and the church is going to go through a great fight. Perilous times are going to come. Guess what? Those people that are praying in the Holy Ghost, I'm not saying we've arrived, but I can tell you this. If you keep praying in the Holy Ghost, you can rest assured as this. The Holy Spirit will inoculate you against deception. He will build a guard against your mind so that you're able to focus on what is in front of you and you won't turn to the left. Even if you turn to the left or right a little bit, if you keep praying in the Spirit, you'll eventually pray yourself out of it. Praise God. So I believe Jude 20 and those verses there are just 2013 verses. They're for today. They're reading like a newspaper would for today. Know this, that perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. That means, I know what it means. It means fleshly, having no power over their flesh, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having this, a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, do what? Turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Now, it's not just talking about that there's a group of silly women here. It's talking about a spirit that will incorporate itself against the church and on the planet, that there will be a lack of sobriety, that people won't... Have you ever heard somebody say something and they told you that it was God and you're just like, are you serious? Are you serious? Where'd you get that from? Because it's not in the Word of God. It just... You can't get that from the Word of God. And so he says this, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. And this, you really can't find these guys necessarily in Scripture, except that if you study this and you go and you read on this, most scholars believe that these were the two magicians in Pharaoh's court that he called over. And Jewish tradition, the best they have is Jewish tradition passed on, said that Paul was writing concerning those two guys. And it said that as these two guys, Jannes and Jambres, withstood Moses, so did these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. Everybody say doctrine. I would to God that you love that word. Homer's been teaching on it for quite a while. He stood with me as a faithful brother, as many of you other brethren have. But as a minister of the gospel and as a man that stood behind this pulpit, I appreciate his love for that word. Because one of the things that we desire around here more than anything else is not to take doctrine and hammer a person with, but to secure you with. To secure you in a place where that you understand that there's something coming and it's already here. And we're not afraid. In fact, what we want to be as ambassadors of love and peace and grace and teach people the truth of sound doctrine. You remember what Dave said a few years ago? The revival that we're going to see is going to be a revival, soundness of truth, sound doctrine, family, media, and he said soundness of mind, just a soundness of mind doctrine, or soundness of mind revival. So much so that the banker could walk in, the businessman could walk in and watch what's going on, feel the power, feel the glory, and say, of truth, God is in this house. And see it done where, with no matter what's going on, that it's not a circus. It's done with power. It's not a circus created by man. It's not a silly thing. It's not people seeing all kinds of weird visions, although we believe in visions. But those visions have to be backed up by the Word of God. And so we believe this, that God is bringing us together for that soundness. He said this, and this is what I like in verse 10. He says, but thou, and he's writing to Timothy, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. Everybody say my doctrine. Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. We're not going to have time, and I want to get you out of here by 9 o'clock, and that's just a few minutes away. But unless he was to go any other direction, and I just fill him closing here in a little bit. But one of the things I want you to see here is this, and I will take just a few moments to preface this. We're not building a place for man, myself, I'm talking about, to be put on a pedestal. And all of you that know me know that. This is a body ministry. It's a ministry made up of a pastor, a senior pastor, and then several elders. And many of those are women, people that have ministered with us from the very beginning, whose prayer life I respect. But what we understand this, and there was other scriptures that I could go to. I could go to a place in 1 Corinthians and talk about that Paul said, you, Timothy, you know my ways. Here he said, my doctrine. And he wasn't saying that his doctrine was something that was an exclusive doctrine. He was just saying, Timothy, in other words, that Paul got something that nobody else on the planet could get. He wasn't putting himself on that pedestal. But he was simply saying this, Timothy, you've been schooled under what I've received from the Father, and the reason why we can go forward together is we're speaking the same thing. And that's one of the things that he said in another verse of Scripture. We won't go there, but 1 Corinthians 1:10, he said, speaking the same thing. Do you know how important it is for us in receiving this last day outpouring that we are speaking the same thing? It's important that you come under a man that you trust and say, okay, I receive his doctrine because I see it from the Word of God. And Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, you've received my doctrine. He said in another place in 1 Corinthians 4:17, he talks about my ways. You've walked in my ways. In other words, what I have been schooled by the Holy Spirit. See, as we go forward, what's going to bombard the church in the last days is, and it's going to be wonderful, It is going to be so wonderful. And we invite it. You hear me praying up here all the time. We're praying that people from all walks come in here. We're praying that people from all kinds of places in their life are going to come in. Well, they're going to come in with baggage. We know that. They're going to come in. But what we have to understand is we have to be sold on what we understand. Timothy was a man that Paul could give the baton to because he followed Paul as Paul followed Christ. And Paul said to Timothy, "You know my ways." It was amazing how he put that on there. It wasn't just, he could have said, "You know the word of God," but he was indoctrinating Timothy through the wisdom that the Holy Spirit had given Paul so that there was a continuity, there was a family continuity to say, look, this is our purpose. This is how we talk. He said that we all speaking the same thing. We know what we're doing. Listen, this is the nativity. This is the nativity. This place here is the nativity. It's the birthing place. I'm not saying it's the only place, but we have to understand it is the nativity of revival. In other words, this is where revival is starting in this area. We understand. And so it's so majorly important that we're speaking the same thing, we're understanding the same thing, and I'm saying that to say this, in the onslaught of people that will come in, we're inviting them, but you know how the Holy Spirit says bold things through me and through you so oftentimes? We said Sunday, look, this may sound really blatant or it may sound kind of bold. Satan's not scared of the name of Jesus just in and of itself. He really, in one sense of the word, yes, he is. But I said this, and I'd have to go back to the message and listen to it exactly like I said it. But just a person saying in Jesus' name, that doesn't get the job done. Thousands of people, thousands, powerlessly say Jesus, and it does nothing. When they have sin in their life, when they are not walking with God, when they don't understand really what's behind that name, you can say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But listen, when the Jesus, the real Jesus of the church, is living powerfully in you and has taken up a resident of authority inside of you, then when you speak his name, devils have to go. They have to go. The church world says, live like you want and speak the name of Jesus and get your prayers answered. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. In the same way, we have to understand this, in the nativity of us birthing this thing, as we continue to hear his voice and speak the same thing, there are going to be those who will come in. They're going to love what they hear. They're going to see and experience. And we want to offer them the very best that we have. We want to spread a table. Listen, we are in a place where we're ever learning. And I think the greatest thing that we have to understand is this, that we have not arrived. And I think the more and more I pray in the Holy Ghost and the more and more you truly pray in the Holy Ghost, there's a humbling process that says we have definitely not arrived. And there's something behind the next place and the next place that we go to in Christ. But listen, the foundation is sure. The foundation is sure. The Holy Spirit has given us a mandate. It's a word I was listening for, hoping to get. We have a mandate in the Spirit to receive an outpouring. The things that he's placed inside of us, see, we're not after, there's another one of these blatant statements, we're not after a bunch of people. What? We're not after. Our main objective is not to get a bunch of people in here. That's not what we're after. Because if that's what we're after, we'd have went after gadgets and gimmicks and all kinds of stuff a long time ago. We're after the evangelism of the nations. We're after trying to get people born again and then evangelize them to the things of God. In that, we are not trying to marry or merge what people come in with what we believe. We know what we believe. Now, that doesn't keep us from learning, but the foundation of by which we understand what praying in tongues does for us, what worship, the Fab Five, as my friend said the other day, the things that will change us from glory to glory, those things are without dispute. Those things are not contestable. It's not, we will give of ourselves to them. And I'm saying this, as elders and those who will hold these things, we have to look at them like Paul was saying to Timothy, you are the nativity. They will come in. I know there's a lot of empty seats here, but the day will come where they'll be coming in and they'll say, what do you believe? And we'll say, this is what we believe. All of our inroads that we understand, we're not making gods out of those. Jesus Christ is the image that we want to be formed into. And well, how do you do it? My God, somebody tell me how to do it. I mean, what do you do? Do you tell somebody, walk in more love? Well, how do I? How do you walk in more love when you hate everybody? There is a way. If you can't get it done through tongues, you can add fasting. If fasting doesn't do it, add some meditation. Read 1 John 50 million times like Homer has. Keep doing. There's all those inroads. Those things are not debatable to us. The masses will come in. We're not going to try to marry ourselves with the masses. As if they come in and look at us, just like shopping for a pickup. Well, I come by here. I looked at the Fords. I don't like Fords. Well, I think I'll go to the Chevys. I don't like the Chevys. I think I'll go to the Dodge. Look, we know what we believe. We know what we understand. This is what Paul was saying. Timothy, you know what I've taught you. Don't compromise it. If they come in and they like it, give it to them freely. There's no cost to it. But don't try to marry yourself to all kinds of doctrines that will come in. Understand when they window shop and they come by and they look into it and say, I like this. Can I have it? You can have all there. What do I have to do to join the church? Nothing. Just show up and receive. Just be blessed. Do I have to pay any tithes? You don't have to pay nothing. You just get blessed. Just get blessed. Well, I'd like to talk to you about changing some of what you teach. No, you're looking in at our window. This is what we have to offer. But we have nothing to change other than we will be changed from glory to glory as the Holy Spirit changes us. And this is what Paul was telling Timothy. Timothy, if you want to walk, Timothy, pastor of the Ephesus, the Ephesian church, if you want your congregation to go forward, speak the same things, follow what I've taught you, follow my ways, follow my doctrine. Don't try to marry things together because a lot of stuff is going to come down the road. Perilous times are coming. But stay sound. Hallelujah. Let people come and window shop, and the ones that want to stay, let them stay and give it to them free. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. But I don't like a Chevy. Well, go buy a Ford. I don't like a Ford. Go buy a Dodge. I don't like a Dodge. Do what? Get a bike. We'll keep praying in tongues. And I'll bet you at the end of the day, when he comes back, we will have gone a lot further than what we possibly could in our flesh. Praise God. We love you. Friday night, we'll be here speaking the word and doing spiritual warfare over our city. I want to bless you in the spirit, pray for you, pray blessings over you. We didn't even touch a lot of the places we could have went tonight, but I will have fulfilled my promise to you time-wise. Father, I bless you. I thank you for the goodness of God, the faithfulness and the richness that is in Christ Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We thank you for all these that are with us. We ask you, Lord, that you will bring in thousands and thousands to come in the days ahead. Not to build a man's ministry or to build anything that is earthly, but Father, more than anything else, that people are born again, filled with the Spirit, and given the opportunity to serve you in this life. We commit all these that are with us tonight. As they go home, may the blessings of the Lord rest upon them. Bless their homes, their marriages, their children. Father, we bless them in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. We love you. We'll see many of you Friday night. Marty, if you'll give us something to leave here with. We bless you all in Jesus' name.